love you this morning. We're glad we can say we love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. Thank you for the love of God that passeth understanding. Father, we're so grateful that you so loved that you gave the best that you had to offer. You died that we might live. You took our sins and gave us your righteousness. Bless in all that's said and done this morning. Deal with our hearts accordingly. In your lovely name we ask it. Amen. Really deeply appreciate the love and that Jesse and Polly have shown constantly towards our life. We thank God for that. And we appreciate those that have welcomed us into their home. And we pray that God will bless you abundantly. Good to be back once again. Time goes so rapidly. God's been good to us, treating us good, watching over us. Nothing to complain about. And I feel like David, you know, I've been young and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Aren't you glad for the faithfulness of God? His faithfulness will never fail. He will not permit that. And I'm glad I'm in the hands of God this morning. What better place to be? Amen. We're going to Acts, the fourth chapter this morning. As God enables, and trust you might get an encouragement from the Word of God this morning. It does build you up. It gives you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. The Word of God will set you free. Amen. In Acts 4 and 31, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. They spake the Word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I value the grace of God, and often praise God in worshiping him and feel like Paul that I am what I am by the grace of God. Outside of that grace, we have nothing. And I value what I have in him. I think of the words of Titus there in Titus 2 and 11. The word says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. That grace that brought salvation appears to all men. It wasn't his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We realize that not all people are going to accept salvation. But I like there in Hebrews, I think the fourth chapter, the word says he's bringing many sons into glory. And when I think of this salvation, that this grace that brought salvation, and that grace the God will teach us, it will give us something to look forward to, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. But then it reminds us of him again, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, a people for a possession. I often remind our people once in a while, you know, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. God has every right to your life because of redemption. We are his. And I think of the salvation or this grace that brought salvation, but the word said that John saw him. He saw him coming full of grace and full of truth. John saw him as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. After all, we were all born in sin and shapen in iniquity. None righteous, no, not one. And had it not been for the grace of God, every one of us would be on our way into eternity without Christ. Value salvation, value the grace of God. And the word says, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's you and I. But that changed when you accepted Christ as Savior. But in due time, God gave his Son for that purpose. He could have called legions of angels to his rescue, but he chose not to. That wasn't his will. The will of the Father was that Christ should die. The will of Christ was that he should give his life a ransom for many. I'm glad whosoever will, I love that word. Whosoever will, let him come. And truth, the word said, grace and truth. John 1:17, it came by Jesus, grace and truth. You realize that you're sitting here this morning because of the grace and the love of God? You have life and that more abundantly because of the grace of God? How can I not serve him? This man, this God man that gave himself a ransom for you and I, the word said that he was despised, rejected. He was acquainted with grief. He was despised. We esteemed him not. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. And yet it's staggering. The word says it pleased God to bruise him. That word bruise, it pleased God to crush him. I can imagine. We had a lady that told my wife one time, well, I know all about the sufferings of Christ. We don't know what Jesus Christ felt for the whole world. Our finite minds can't comprehend what Christ did for you and I at Calvary's cross. But it pleased God to bruise him. The whipping, the brutality, the spitting, the cruelty, the rejecting. He came into his own, and his own received him not, but I'm glad as many as would receive him, to them gave he the power or the ability to become sons of God. Rejoice this morning. We're sons of God. We're not an offcast. We're sons of God. When I accepted him, he made me a son of God. He made me an heir. He made me an heir of God. I can be a joint heir. It shall be that I learn to suffer with him that we may be also glorifying together. I long for that time when it comes. Amen. Being there with my blessed Lord and Savior. Titus said he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from this cruel, wicked world, and we became a peculiar people. Don't you love him this morning? My thank God for what he had done. Paul, in essence, this was his gospel. I give unto you that which I received, how that Christ died, he was buried, and rose again. I often go to the book of the gospel writings and notice sometime when Christ was coming down the road, there would be those who would cry out, well, God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me. Yes, there were those that would stand around and say, well, be quiet. Don't bother him. And suddenly the Lord would stop and say, well, what do you want? What do you have need of? I'm glad all of my needs were met in Christ Jesus when I called out to him. God, have mercy on this sin-sick soul. We read in the Psalms 103, I believe it is, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless him, praise him. He forgives all our sins and heals all our iniquities. A man told me here recently concerning somebody else that just had been put in prison. And he said, you know, he made a statement, well, what that man needs, in essence, for somebody to take him up behind the barn and beat him half to death. I said, no, what that man needs is Jesus Christ. Had it not been for God's grace, that would be you and I. Amen? In Oklahoma, they tell me that the prisons are growing by leaps and bounds, and They're bringing them in the back door and releasing them out the front door that had no room for them. There's only one answer in all of this, saints. It's my blessed Lord and Savior that gave his life a ransom for you. Christ died that you might live. Amen? Christ died that you might live. All of my sins have been placed behind his back in the sea of forgetfulness. God never remembers one of them. And listen, we have no scripture grounds, no right to go back to God and say, well, God, did you forgive me? When God forgives, he forgets. I'm glad all of my sins have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, says once and for all, they've been cleansed by the blood. Saying, listen, I'm what I am by God's grace. God's been good to this man. God's been gracious to me. I've been raised up in Pentecost all my life. My dad was a Pentecostal preacher. But I can't ride on them, saints. I ride on what God did for me at Calvary's cross. God's been so good to our family. Told my wife here the other day, you know, we've been blessed. I said, what are you talking about? All of our kids are saved and filled with the Holy Spirit in church serving God. All of our grandkids they have accepted Christ as personal Savior. A couple of them have been making missionary trips overseas. One just got back, and granddaughter's going with her mother in September, I believe it is, back to the mission fields. The love of God, saints, it does something for you. There's no room for condemnation, saints. Listen, outside of the grace of God, that's you and I. The word says that God gave them great power. God gave them great grace. I'm glad for the power of God. We can't imagine, saint, that same power that brought Christ victorious out of the grave dwells here. Amen? That word power in the Hebrew, it means dynamite. Had some kids when I was in grade school. We found a place where they tried to talk me into it, going up behind a hill in the countryside, and there's a lot of dynamite caps that were there. They wanted to play with them. I said, no, that's not for me. This power, I'm glad for the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 tells us that Peter filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts 9 tells us that Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts the first chapter tells us that 120 were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's just as real today as he was 2,000 years ago. That power is just as real today. Young people hunger, thirst for him, cry out to God. David said, my soul thirsteth for the living God. Make it real in your life. And I'm glad for that anointing. That saint, listen, the Holy Spirit wasn't given just to make you feel good. There's a power and anointing behind that. We had three sisters in our meeting, precious sisters. All of them deeply loved the Lord. One of them hadn't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet. And she mentioned that before she got up and began to sing a song. And she began to just get carried away with just worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And suddenly it got quiet and looked around, and she was laying on her back in the middle of the floor speaking in tongues, praising God. When God brings you to that, yield to it. We have a man we're still dealing with that he's fearful of the Holy Spirit. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But saints, when God gave that power, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you know the word tells us that the Holy Spirit will strengthen the believer. He will. Paul tells us in Romans 8 that those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Aren't you glad for what God has accomplished for you and I? The Holy Spirit will bring fruit in your life if you yield to it. We can walk in the Spirit. We can be led of the Spirit. And what do you desire? Paul said, my desire is this. What is your desire this morning? I want more of Christ. I want more of that anointing in my life. Peter and John were unlearned. They were ignorant, uneducated men, but the word said they had taken knowledge of one thing. They had, hallelujah, they had been with Christ. That makes a difference in your life, young people. Be with Christ. How can I not serve him? What a privilege to go on with Christ. God's, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, since we need truth. People constantly say, well, what is truth? What is truth? Get into the Word of God. The Holy Spirit will show you what truth is. He compares spiritual things with spiritual. He never speaks of himself, but always that which he has heard. He glorifies the Son of God. I'm glad for the power of the Holy Spirit. He will guide us in our prayer life. Many times, and I don't know if you felt that, sometimes I get down to pray and it just seems like my mind goes blank. Well, God, what do you want? But you know, when you begin to worship God and just cast it all on Jesus Christ, suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit will lead you into a prayer life and anoint that prayer as you go to God in prayer. Many times we don't know what to pray for, but he does. He intercedes with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm glad I have another intercessor. He's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for me. You know, as a child of God, we can go boldly under the throne of grace that we can obtain mercy and find grace. Find grace to help in the time of need. He's still there. And I like the words of Job, and when I read it, but when sometime when it comes our way, well, God, what are you doing? Job said, when he hath tried me, I'll come forth as gold. It's God that works in you and through you. When God has started that work, saying God, the word said that God will finish that work. Aren't you glad for God's faithfulness? God didn't just bring me to a point in life and drop me off and leave me. Say, God is a very present help in the time of need. Whatever case that I have need in life, God has supplied my every need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, to love him. Not just with words. We'll find him when we search with him with all of our hearts, our mind, our soul. He's there. God wants something from you and I. He deserves that right. Our praise, our worship, our honor, all the glory and the honor belongs to Jesus Christ. Had it not been for those that had taught me coming up in church, since I wouldn't be here today. When I was 18 years old, I graduated on a Wednesday night, and the following Friday morning, I ran away and joined the Air Force. I thought I could get away from God. God met me someplace I didn't want to meet him, there in the midst of Korea. You can't run from God, young people. You may try it. You can't run from God. There's a tugging that's always there. It pulls at your heart and your life. Every day God will speak to you come to me. Come to me, all ye that labor and the heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That tugging is always there. Thank God. I'm glad this morning that God always tugs at my heart and draws me closer to Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit. I remember last camp, I believe it was, one night, especially at the youth camp, and that night, man, the power of God so saturated that congregation around the altar. You get up close to it and you couldn't hardly stand up. It was so powerful. You know, that's what we need. That's what we need. And I asked the lady to speak one time. I said, well, Pastor, I don't know what to say. I said, just open your, you know what God told Moses, open your mouth and I'll fill it. And boy, she got carried away just preaching the word of God. I tell you, the power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit was there. Saying, get what you have, give it back to God. Let God mold and make in your life that which is pleasing to his sight. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us. And I think what some of the blessings. I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our blessings are in Christ. Amen. All your blessings are in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I think one of the greatest blessings that God has placed in front of me when I accepted Christ as Savior, and I'm still growing in it, I want to be like Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Take everything I have in this life, but give me Jesus. You can take all of my goods, what I have, and everything that I own in this life, it means nothing. Say, give me Jesus. There is that maketh himself rich, and yet he doesn't have a thing. There is that maketh himself poor, and yet he has great riches. Saying, the riches aren't in this life. Our riches are in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Sometimes I feel that tugging in the Song of Solomon. Oh, come away with me. Come away with me. I don't know about you, but I feel that tugging more and more every day of my life. God says, coming away with me. Come away with me. Are you ready? Oh, if the trumpet would sound today, I would shout hallelujah all the way to glory. I like the last five songs. They all start and end the same way. Praise you, the Lord. But I think one portion in the Hebrew puts it this way. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. All the praise, all the glory, all hallelujah, all the glory belongs to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Oh, saints, fall in love with him. The word says, I have suffered the loss of all things, but what for what purpose? That I might win him. That I might win him. No, not everybody's going to obtain to that place. And I believe that everybody that goes into heaven is going to have a full cup. They're going to be satisfied when they get into heaven. The difference is going to be the size of the cup you take with you. You can give your life a ransom or give it back to God and let God use you for his glory all of this life, and you can just sit down and do nothing. The choice is ours on a daily basis, what we do with Christ. Paul said, listen, I have engaged you to one husband. I have espoused you to one husband for me to live, Christ. For me to die, Christ. To obtain to that place, and I'm glad there in Revelation 19, I believe it is, you know, that let us give honor and praise to him. The marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That word made in the Hebrew, it means that her wife hath yielded. Her wife responds to him. Her wife gives back to him. Her wife loves him. His wife cares for him more than anything else in this world. And saying, listen, God is working in you and through you. He wants to do one thing. Saying, he's preparing us for that day when you're going to rule and reign with Christ. Hallelujah! I long for that time, saint, when I rule and reign with Christ and see him face to face. This isn't fairy tale, saint. This is real. I've been engaged to one person, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. Oh, I'm glad the way God loves me, and I'm saying, but God, help me to fall deeper in love with you. You're the lover of my soul. Help me to fall in love with you. And he said, well, Paul, I haven't obtained to that place yet, but I'm pressing forward for the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It is a high calling. It's a holy calling that out resurrection. I don't want to come in second place. When it's all over with, I don't want to look and say, well, I could have had that. I could have had that. The first man that I had ever buried when I was in a ministry, 70 years of age, wouldn't go to church, didn't want nothing to do with God. One night his wife called up and said, well, Pastor, come, I think Tom's ready. I think he's ready. Ran down to his house and knelt beside his bed and said, Tom, are you ready? Yes, he wanted to accept Christ, and he did. He accepted Christ as Savior. Young people, you know what was sad? 70 years he wasted his life and didn't give it to God. Do I believe in deathbed salvation? Yes, I do. Anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, but he spent 70 years of life rejecting Jesus Christ. He had no second chance. It was over with. It's high time to be up and about the master's business. Redeem the time because the days are evil. And boy, it would take somebody that would almost be a maniac not to realize that this world is cruel. It's vicious. It's getting worse day by day. They interviewed a man in Kansas City, and the last time that they had a school shooting. And he was out there with them. He said, well, do you think now it's finally over with when we got this one out of the way? He said, oh, listen, mister, you haven't seen a thing. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse. You just haven't seen a thing. It's going to get worse. When I see all of this taking place, and we had an east of the air in California, that just this recent earthquake, and we've been praying for her. But say, when I see all of this taking place, I can, hallelujah, I can lift up my head and rejoice. I know that my redemption draweth nigh. How about you this morning? Saints, it's high time to awaken out of sleep. Jesus Christ is just about ready to appear on the scene. But he's going to have a people ready, prepared to go. When God says go. I want nothing holding me back. And I like the words of Paul. I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but all of those that love his appearing. You love his appearing this morning? I've had people tell me, well, you know, Pastor, I've heard that all my life. Well, you're just closer to it becoming reality. I've heard it all my life. My dad preached it all his life. He's with glory in heaven now. I got a brother that's an ordained pastor. Our whole family have heard that teaching all our life. But since I can't run from my dad, I can't run from my brother and sister, this is a personal affair between you and Christ. The Song of Solomon, the Lord said, well, I give myself to him, but she really didn't. In words, she did. It wasn't until later on in her experience with Solomon falling in love with him. Oh, he's mine and I'm his. Complete dedication to him. We need to have that in our lives, a complete dedication back to God. Remember when the king had his requested that his wife would come and dance before him. And she refused to do that. So he removed her from the place of being queen. And the chamberlain was to go out and try to find young women to come in and take her place. And that training went on for a year for all of these women that were chosen. And I like the words that it said concerning Esther, that she required nothing but what Haggai the chamberlain set before her, and saying, listen, we require nothing but what the Holy Spirit will teach us. Amen? I'm not going to obtain to that place by my education, my works, what I have in this life. It's what the Holy Spirit has done here. That's what I require. That's what I want in my life. I've had people tell me, well, follow me and let's go have fun. No, I'm not going to follow him. Paul said, listen, follow me as I follow Christ. This race is just about over with. I would shout hallelujah if Christ came today. Saints, I have a longing in my heart to see him face to face. You know, we're changed from grace, from image to image. We go from strength to strength, from faith to faith, Some have weak faith. Some have strong faith. Some have no faith. Where are you at this morning in your relationship with Christ? How is your faith with Him? Is God pleased with what He sees? He should be. He wants to be. And I think of the man that came to Christ. Well, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Help, get me over that hump that I just can't believe these things. Say, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your pathway. Sometimes I get God before God and say, well, Lord, listen. I love your word, but I'm just a babe. I pray like David, would God lead me into your truth and teach me. Lead me into your truth and teach me. Heaven and earth are going to pass away, but everything that you have in Christ Jesus is going to live and abide forever and ever and ever and ever. The Lord is preparing a place, and there's going to be some that are going to stand round about the throne waving palm leaves. There's going to be some that are going to sit on the throne. How about you this morning? I can't judge that. That's between you and God. God is going to have a people that are going to sit on the throne with Him. Saints, they're going to rule forever and ever and ever and ever. Oh, God, help us. I'm glad the Word said that God gave them great power, authority, ability. Saints, that comes from God Himself. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. It's His strength, His power, His ability. The writer said, great grace was upon them all. Oh God, where would we be without the great grace of God? Go back to Isaiah 53 and read it prayerfully, slowly. Who hath believed our report? Despised, rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. I don't believe that he was a man 6'1", 6'2", robust of a man, strong, huge. The word says in Isaiah, there's no beauty that we should desire him. Nothing that would draw in the natural that would draw you to him. But Saint, listen, He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of compassion. When I had no friend, He was my friend. When I had a place to go, He's my refuge. He's my hiding place. When I was sick, I found Him. He's my healer. I'm a cancer survivor. I know what is. Acquaint, you know, Job said, acquaint yourself with Him. What do you know about Him this morning? Acquaint yourself with Him and be at peace. Do you really need Him? Without, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without Him, we are nothing. I feel like David, I can run to Him and hide me. I could go right on in to the presence of God's saints. I don't bow my head when I go. The word says, I can go into the Holy of Holies by the blood of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. No other way, by the blood of Christ. The word speaks of the access, the secret of the stairs. That speaks of access to Him. When's the last time you have really just spent time alone going into God's presence? Sometime when I go there, all I can do is just weep before God, Lord, you did all of this for me. You did all of this for me. Thank God my name is now in the Lamb's Book of Life, never to be removed. God loves me. I have thanked him a million times over. God, I'm glad you love me. Because I would never love you unless you love me first. Oh, we need that power to lead us, guide us, and direct us into all truth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still calling people today to come to him, still tugging at hearts. And I want to be like, young people, be like this lady in our church. Just get caught up in worshiping Christ, singing a beautiful song, and suddenly laying on the floor with their hands stretched high and just speaking in tongues and worshiping God. She got up later and said, "Now I know, I know, I know, I know, I know, I know. I know he's real." Oh, I can imagine what that time is going to be like. The word says, "I'm going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and there shall I ever be with him." Hallelujah! There shall I ever be with Christ. It's like there's no ending to that time. I'm going to spend eternity with Christ. I'm sorry, I tell people people at church learning, you know, I don't like a quiet service. I like people to enter in and worship God for who he is. Say, it's all the glory, all the praise, all the honor. When it's all said and done, it's all going to go to Jesus Christ and no one else. And we're going to have to say, "Oh, God, listen, I am what I am by your grace and nothing else." I'm glad for the Holy Spirit. Young people, boy, when you get to camp, don't wait. Don't wait. When they sing that song of invitation, get up and run. Get to the altar and pour your heart out to Jesus Christ. You'll never be sorry that you did. Never be sorry that you did. You think it doesn't pay? We had a young lady in our meeting. I think she was in junior high, going into high school. "Pastor, I don't need church anymore. Don't need Sunday school anymore. I'm too big for this." Sat down, we had a long talk with her. She's persistent. She left the church. Within a year's time, she's pregnant without a husband. Now, young people, you can't play with sin and not get burnt. Be careful. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Don't stand up and say you don't need him. Say, we need him. We need him. Amen? And today, that young lady still regrets what she did. She's still paying the price. Oh, listen. You have a song in closing, brother? Number five. If you want to come around the altars and worship him, the altars are open. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for the teachings of the Bride of Christ.